You're listening to the Parkside Christian Church podcast. Here at Parkside, our mission is to love God, love people, and help others do the same. To learn more, visit ParksideChristian.com.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Matt Robinson, and I'm the lead pastor here at Parkside Christian Church. Those stories are powerful, aren't they? It's amazing how when we share just a little bit about how we met Jesus, how it awakens our imagination in so many ways. The stories are simple, but they're powerful, and we all have a story that God wants us to share so that we can be a part of someone else's story of them meeting Jesus too. That's what Live Generously, what Randy talked about earlier, what you've heard us talk about for the past year, that's what Live Generously is all about. We really pull that from Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 39. I want to read that for you as we're at the start of this series. This is what it says. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Parkside, that's why we exist. That's our mission. We want to be workers in God's harvest field. It doesn't matter who plants the seeds in the harvest. It doesn't matter who waters the seeds. It's God doing the miraculous work of making things grow. All of us need to be continually reminded to be dedicating our time, our talent, and our treasure to growing and working in the harvest. Let's do that. Let's be committed to that. So last year, last June specifically, we said, hey, this matters so much to us that we want to be even more dedicated to living in a way, living generously, so that we can share Jesus with every opportunity, with every time, talent, and treasure that we have. We said, hey, we really want to get serious about eliminating our debt and at the same time learning more about what it means to be intentionally living as followers of Jesus. And so last year we did, we challenged you, said, hey, dedicate your talent to serving extra time above and beyond what you normally have to sharing the love of Jesus with people. And it's so cool, you all dedicated over 25,000 extra hours to serving here at Parkside or serving in the community with the love of Jesus. That's incredible. Starting in June of last year to now, June of 21 to June of 22, over $300,000 was given through Live Generously. That's above and beyond normal giving, normal budget, $300,000. Portions of that went to debt reduction. Portions of that went to community impact and building improvements. But in that period of time, the mortgage, our debt, the thing that we say, hey, we have got to get rid of this so that we can be even more generous, it went from $1.4 million down to $974,000. $974,000. If you're a mathematician, if you're good with numbers, you'll recognize that we had $300,000 come in through Live Generously, but we paid over $450,000 in the debt. You go, time out, Matt. Those numbers don't match up. How is that possible? It's possible because some of you didn't just give to Parkside to keep existing ministries going. You didn't just give to Live Generously. You made special debt retirement gifts, debt reduction gifts, so that another big chunk could be taken away. So through normal mortgage payments and through your extra and above gifts, we're under $1 million. And I'm excited to say that we're going to be making in the next few weeks another $20,000 special payment to that debt reduction. We want to get that debt out of the way so that we can be even more generous. And the thing that I'm so excited about is even in the midst of trying to say, hey, let's get rid of this debt so that we don't have $170,000 on the books every year that has to go to pay for a building that we're already using. I'm excited that in the midst of all that, we are still being generous by making special gifts to our mission partners all over the world that are experiencing hardships in the work that they're doing, places like Ukraine that we talked about last week. But we're also helping with local struggles and local ministries, things like the flooding in Kentucky or the tornadoes in Goshen. We are not waiting to be generous. We're not waiting to share what God's given us with others. And that's not even mentioning, I can't forget, the incredible ministry that happens in this building and in our community week to week through people that serve in student ministry, people that serve in children's ministry, in group ministry, and the list goes on and on. It is so exciting to see how Parkside, as a church, we're living out this idea of being generous with everything we've got. We want to keep that momentum going. When you came in this morning, there was two cards that you had around you. And, you know, Allie told you, hey, you need to go get a free shirt. But you also had these cards, these commitment cards. Now, if you look at these cards and you read over it, and you are so excited about Live Generously that you're like, I'm going to turn this in today. I'm going to fill it out. I know where I want to serve. I know what gift I want to give. I'm ready. Praise God, do it. But what I want to challenge you to do is just pray over this for the next few weeks. This is about our whole lives. This isn't about a week. This isn't about where you put a decimal point in a check that you write. This is about us. Every single week, every single day of our lives, are we living as generously as possible? So for the next several weeks, I just want to challenge you to do that. And the other challenge that I'd have that would go along with that is one-time gifts are incredible. If you say, hey, I'm going to serve at the house build, that's great. If you say, you know what, I'd like to give X amount of dollars, it's a one-time gift, that's great. But would you consider regularly serving? Would you consider saying, I want to serve 2 hours every week in my community and at my church? Would you consider making that sacrifice? And would you consider making a routine, a reoccurring financial gift to Parkside? Saying, hey, I want to give a Live Generously gift. Because, you know, those big gifts are great, but it's those small gifts that add up over time that are going to knock this debt out faster than possible. Just being transparent with you about where these funds are going. Every dollar given to Live Generously, 75% of that's going to go to debt reduction. 15% of it goes to community impact through a program we call Live Generously Grants that you can actually go online and you could apply for your own Live Generously grant to share God's love in our community. And 10% goes to building improvements. But I challenge you, for the next 3 weeks, take this card, put it somewhere where you're going to see it, and pray over it. Because we don't want you to feel guilted into something. We don't want you to feel obligated into something. We want you to have a conversation with God. And this week, we're talking about what that conversation can and should look like. We're talking about treasure. Now, as a church, if you're coming in here and it's your first time, and you're going, oh great, here's a church talking about money. We're going to be mentioning money, but we're talking about treasure. And I'm glad if it's your first time here because, you know, it's important to hear how a church talks about treasure. If you think that we're talking about treasures today, that you're going to hear another church talk about how much we want your money, you're wrong. What you do with your money is between you and God. And our leadership team wants to do the best we can to be stewards with the resources, the finances that we have, but we know and we trust God that we will always have what we need. What we spend our time praying about isn't getting more of something. We spend our time praying about being a better steward with what we've been given. I want to talk to you today about what you treasure. We talk about being a church that holds grace in an open hand. If you go to our website, our new website, thank you very much, Allie Burst. If you go to our new website, you'll see that one of our church values is hold grace in an open hand. And you go, that's a really interesting value. We want to be generous with the grace God's given us. What you do with your money is part of that, but the bigger thing is that we're talking about what you'll choose to do with Jesus, just like the video that started this message. Jesus and His grace are the greatest treasures that you will ever have in your life, worth more than any bank account can hold. Will you share Jesus with other people, or will you keep His grace to yourself? We want to be a church that shares our treasure with others, and if we can use our time, talents, and even our treasure to share Jesus with others, you better believe we're going to do that. When people treasure something, they protect it, right? When somebody has a treasure in their lives, they are going to put it someplace safe. So in a big way, your treasure becomes the anchor for your life. You will end up building your life around what you treasure because you want to value it and protect it. In the book The Hobbit, some of you might be Lord of the Rings fans, some of you might be rolling your eyes that here's Matt talking about something from Dungeons and Dragons, right? In the book The Hobbit by J.R.R. Tolkien, the story revolves around a dwarven treasure. These dwarves are going back to try and rescue this treasure that has been stolen by Smaug, the dragon. And in so many ways, Smaug represents greed. These dwarves had built such a pile of treasure, such an amazing collection of riches, that greed had taken hold of all of them, and now this dragon of greed was controlling it. And they couldn't control it themselves. And so Thorin Oakenshield, one of the main characters in the book, is trying to lead this group to take the treasure back, right? He pursued his treasure, and then once he got a hold of his treasure, he protected his treasure. Really quickly, is the X that marks the spot in your life where your treasure is something that you're protecting or something that you're pursuing? We're going to find ourselves in one of those two places, really all of our lives. Are you pursuing a treasure or are you protecting a treasure? But regardless of whether you're pursuing or protecting, all of us value something in our lives. What's the X that marks the spot in your life? What's the treasure that you're chasing? Thorin Oakenshield had immense riches, you know, that was stolen by this dragon, and he finally goes and takes hold of it again, but his treasures trapped him. He had something that was called dragon sickness, right? It's a fantasy world, so you can decide all these kinds of things. You can make them up as you go. He had dragon sickness, which meant instead of seeing things for how they really are, he only saw his treasure. He only saw his greed. For the X that marked the spot in Thorin Oakenshield's life, greed grew out of that X. What's your treasure? What are you protecting? What are you pursuing? Does your treasure poison you? Or does it give your life purpose and direction? Being generous with our finances doesn't reduce our treasures. Think about this. Depending on what you treasure, you can be incredibly generous with your finances, and it doesn't affect your treasure at all. What you do with your finances reveals what your treasure is all along. God treasures people, and so should we. When we are generous with those around us, we're choosing to value the real eternal treasure that God wants us to. So whether we have little or lots, we need to get busy investing our hearts in the treasure that we should be pursuing and protecting. Today, I want us to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. And to just give you a little background as you get out your phones or you get out your Bibles and look this up, Paul is writing another letter to the church in Corinth. He wrote multiple letters to the church in Corinth, and he's talked to them about lots of different things, but he's about to talk about generosity. The church in Corinth has prepared a special gift to support Paul's work in the advancement of the gospel, and he's encouraging them. He says, hey, it's great how eager you are, but just make sure that your eagerness to give translates to actual generosity. Let's pick up in verse 6 of chapter 9. You can read along with me on the screen or on your device or Bible. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things and at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Let me read that for you again. God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all the need, all that you need, you will abound in every good work. This isn't the prosperity gospel. This isn't, hey, God wants to bless you with lots of money. God wants to bless you with everything you need so that in all things, at all times, you can have everything you need and you can abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. If you talk to a financial planner, they will tell you scattering your riches to the poor is probably not a good bet, right? Hey, what's your strategy, Matt? What are you going to do this next financial quarter? I am planning on taking my money and scattering it. It's not going to work. It's not a great plan. Paul is quoting Psalms chapter 112, verse 9. I just want to tell you that when you find a verse quoted by one of the authors of Scripture, you should go look it up because it helps you unpack things even more. Here's some more of the context of Psalm 112 that Paul is referencing. In that psalm, it says, blessed are those who follow the Lord. Their generation, their children will be blessed. Their homes will be filled with riches. Even when problems surround them, their light will shine brightly. Good will come to the generous. They won't be shaken. They won't fear when bad news comes because they trust in God. Their hearts are secure. And then comes the verse that Paul quotes. They've scattered their riches to the poor. God has blessed them so much that they can be ridiculously crazy generous with those in need. I love that. Let's scatter God's grace, even though it goes against the common financial wisdom. Let's scatter God's grace as a gift wherever we go. A good recipe isn't finished until you've poured in lots of seasonings, lots of sugar and spice and everything nice to make it taste good. Let's scatter the goodness of God everywhere we go, so that when people spend time around us, they know that God has been good to us and that God has grace that he wants to be good to them as well. Paul continues with the thought he's developing in his letter to the church in Corinth. Verse 10, now he who supplies the seed to the sower and the bread for food also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, and here's another, so that you will be enriched in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. You're enriched in every way so you can be comfortable. No, you're enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and so that others can give thanks to God. Your treasure of grace is so that you can be generous on every occasion. The guy that was the lead pastor at Parkside before me, his name's Bart Stever, he gave an illustration once that I loved. He was trying to think about the fact that everything God had given him, everything that he had, every dollar, every cent, actually belonged to God, that he was just a steward of it. And so he actually took his credit card and put God's name on it. He said, property of Jesus Christ, on his credit card, so that every time he handed it over and paid, people would be like, what is this all about? And he'd be like, well, you know, I'm the steward of this money, but it really belongs to God. That's gutsy, right? That's a great reminder. I love the reminder so much that I'm planning on later this week going to Bart and asking him if I can have his credit card, and so I can show other people how cool it is that he trusts God with his money. I don't think that's going to work. But that's kind of what we're doing with these t-shirts, right? When you wear a t-shirt, you're carrying somebody else's brand with you. You're representing something else. And this isn't about Team Parkside. You know, on jerseys, they put your name on the back. On the back of this jersey, it's our mission. love God, love people, and help others do the same. When you wear this shirt, you're not advertising for Parkside. It's a reminder for you to live on mission. We don't want you to be a walking billboard. We want you to be a walking manifestation of the grace of God. And so when you put this shirt on, hopefully it reminds you just a little bit more what God's done for you. Verse 12, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. When you are generous with God's grace, you aren't just meeting someone's needs. Being generous with your treasure isn't just about meeting a physical need. You are worshiping God and showing thankfulness to God. Verse 13, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for your obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the generosity, or for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. When we are generous with our treasure, we represent Jesus well, and others will praise God. We will lead others into worship of God because of it. And then he finishes verse 14 and 15, and in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Paul finishes this section of his letter by mentioning what the real treasure we have, the real treasure we've been given. Thank God for the indescribable gift. What's the gift? What's the gift that we've been given? It's his surpassing grace. That's the gift. That's the treasure that allows us to be crazy generous. I love that, surpassing grace. It's more grace than we need. The weird thing about money is that you don't seem to have enough, right? As Americans, studies would show that we actually spend more money than we have pretty consistently. And it doesn't matter if you have five-figure salary, six-figure salary. Typically, whatever money you make, you spend. And you always find yourself wanting more of it, right? How much do you need? How much is enough? The incredible thing about grace, the reason that grace should be treasured, the reason we should build our life around grace and not around finances, is because when we treasure God's grace, we will always have enough. It will always be God's surpassing grace. And spiritual contentment can lead us to realizing that we can be financially content no matter how much we have in our bank account or in our wallets. When our contentment flows out of the riches of God's grace, then we will always have more than we need, and we will have more than enough to be generous with that riches too. The other thing that you have with us, or with you on your seat, is this little key card. And I've got mine on my keychain, but it's got a verse on it, and the verse is 1 Corinthians 3:7. And 1 Corinthians 3:7 says, so neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. I read earlier that passage from Matthew where Jesus says, join God in the harvest. Be a worker in the harvest. The encouraging thing that we have in that work is that God's the one who makes things grow. We just have to harvest what God's growing. We plant seeds and we water seeds, but God makes them grow. When we combine that with 2 Corinthians 9:6, it means even more. If God is going to bless us abundantly, if he's going to make things grow into a harvest even greater than we would expect, what powerful things can happen if we realize that it's not about us, it's about the God that we serve. What grows from the X that marks the spot on your treasure map? Just like 1 Corinthians 3:7 or 2 Corinthians 9:6, if a seed is planted in the X of your treasure map, what would grow? Since 2019, our church has done something, a program called the Dollar Club, and if you've been here a while, you've heard us talk about it. To put it simply, the Dollar Club is every week we've committed to however many people are in this building, worshiping, children's ministry, student ministry, for every person, we are going to set aside a dollar. Just like we said, we don't want to wait to be generous. We're going to set aside a dollar for every single person to meet an immediate need in our community. For no other reason than we want to be generous with God's love, God's grace, And we feel like it's the type of thing that Jesus would do if he was here with us now. We want to represent the open-handed, crazy generosity of Jesus. And so in the past 3 years, the Dollar Club has helped pay for medical bills, help women escape abusive relationships, pay for groceries, get electricity turned back on, help make a car payment or replace a car, help single parents breathe a little deeper and pay some bills. And I love that with the Dollar Club, when you nominate someone, if you nominate someone and they're selected to be a Dollar Club recipient, you get to deliver the check. And here's how it goes. You go up to someone that maybe you had a chance encounter with, maybe you've known them for a long time, maybe it's a neighbor, coworker, but you go up to them and most of them have never been in the building at Parkside. Most of them have never even maybe heard of Parkside Christian Church. And the first question is, who? Is this real? And then the question is why? And then that's when we get to speak of the incredible generosity of Jesus, who loved us so much that he sacrificed everything, that we are God's treasure. And the cool thing, Parkside, is that since 2019, we've been giving away these gifts, and we've had over 120 Dollar Club recipients, and in August of this year, we surpassed $100,000 given away through the Dollar Club. How cool is that? Just a dollar here, a dollar there. You know what? I can give an extra dollar. I can give an extra dollar because it's going to meet a need. Parkside, the hardest thing that we had as a leadership team when we first made that decision, this is embarrassing to say, can we afford that? Do we believe in God? Praise God that in 3 years, we've been able to give away $100,000 to just meet immediate needs and say, hey, Jesus loves you. Earlier in the service, I said we spend over $170,000 on the mortgage each year. Right? Our debt is at $945,000. But if each of us just said, you know what? I can be generous with my treasure because of what I really treasure. If we just all took a little bit, if we said, you know what, hey, each month I'm going to sacrifice this so that I can make this reoccurring gift, so that I can regularly be generous, we could crank that out in a year. It wouldn't take a $1 million check. All it would take would be us saying, here's what I really value in my treasure. My encouragement to you is don't wait until you're debt-free to be generous. That's a lesson that we've learned as a church. Don't wait. Whether it's your time, your talent, or treasure, which we're going to be talking about the next 3 weeks, be generous. You're going to find you have way more to give, whether it's your time, your talent, or treasure, than you realized. The X that marks the spot on God's map is you, is me, is Anderson Township. It's people. The thing that God built his life around was redeeming and rescuing us. We're going to enter into a time of communion, and that's what I'd like for you to meditate on. As we have communion, if it's your first time here, you can grab one of the communion bags from around the room. God's treasure is you. He's built his life around rescuing and redeeming you. What's your treasure? What's going to grow out of the X that marks the spot in your life? Let me pray. God, we thank you so much for who you are and what you've done for us. And so, God, with the remaining time we have together, as we have communion and as we worship, as we dedicate ourselves in prayer, let's remember, Lord, that you gave greatly. You gave all. That through your sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, you said, mankind is my treasure. Thanks for that, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected with us throughout the week by following Parkside on social media. To learn more, visit parksidechristian.com.